Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
My fellow Americans, this July, we're celebrating America's birthday at Moto Casino by giving away $1,776,000 in prizes. And one lucky winner is going to take home $1 million SC. Happy 250th birthday, America. You're welcome. Download Moto Casino today.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
This is Nightmare in Wisconsin.
The trial of Taylor Shabusiness. Accusations of first-degree intentional homicide, strangulation, mutilation, dismemberment, and necrophilia.
We bring you raw, unfiltered courtroom audio from the trial of Taylor Shabusiness. Nightmare in Wisconsin.
And you did provide that to me, is that fair?
Yes.
Counsel, just to clarify, we're starting over with numbers. This is Exhibit 1.
Okay.
Thank you, Judge. Your Honor, can I have permission to approach?
You may.
Thank you. Dr. Lindsay, I'll show you what's about to Exhibit 1.
Yes.
Can you tell me what that is?
That's my brief resume.
And does your resume or curriculum vitae contain information about your educational background?
Yes.
Does it contain information about other patients or cases you've worked on?
Well, it summarizes my jobs over since 1975 till, yeah.
Okay.
And the type of cases that I do for the last 32 years.
Okay. And your license is still in effect, correct?
Yes.
Is everything in that curriculum vitae Exhibit 1 true and accurate as of today?
Well, except I wasn't able to do the online renewal of my American Psychological Association membership. I found that out this year, so I had to call them up and do that. So that's the only thing. As far as I know, that's the only thing that's not accurate.
But you're licensed in the state of Wisconsin?
Correct.
Offer Exhibit 1.
Any objection?
No.
One will be received.
Thank you. Now, were you provided with some brief background information about this case?
Yes.
And were you provided information from prior counsel and from me?
Yes.
What kinds of information did you review in this case?
It was voluminous, and I asked for more information, too. The records, though, discovery, included the criminal complaints for the offense, prior offenses from 2020. That's the police records and the formal criminal complaint. And then a 21-day inpatient psychiatric hospitalization at Nicolet.
Can I stop you right there? Did you receive those documents?
Yes.
Did you receive the order for civil commitment?
Yes.
Did you receive an order for psychotropic medications for Taylor Shabusiness?
Yes.
And you looked at those legal documents?
Yes.
What year was that? Do you know?
Which year?
When those orders were entered, the civil commitment order?
2021, I believe, for a six-month order for civil commitment and the order to treat.
I apologize for interrupting you, but Your Honor, can I approach?
You may.
I'm going to show you what's been marked as Exhibit
283. First, could you identify where it says Exhibit 2 is?
2 is a state of Wisconsin, Brown County, order of commitment.
Is that for Taylorship Business?
Yes.
And Exhibit 3?
That is a state of Wisconsin, Brown County, order for involuntary medication and treatment.
Is that for Taylorship Business?
Yes.
Is that from 2021?
Yes.
Do those documents indicate that she was mentally ill at that time?
Yes.
And that she was court ordered to take some medications?
Exactly.
Are those documents that you reviewed as part of your evaluation in this case?
Yes.
Offer Exhibits 2 and 3?
Any objections?
No.
2 and 3 will be received.
So, Dr. Litton, you can carry on. What other documents or things did you look at as part of your evaluation?
I reviewed the other evaluators in this case, their reports, and then the 2 inpatient psychiatric hospitalizations from Bellin here in Green Bay. I reviewed voluminous school records, which I don't often get in these cases, but the school records for Ms. Shabusiness covered kindergarten through 11th grade and all the behavior incidences. So I think that's about it. And then the Prevea, we've asked for those records, but they haven't been received yet.
Did you review Nicolet Psychiatric Center records from through Brown County?
Yes.
Did you review the report from Dr. Christina Engine?
Yes.
Dr. Tracy Lucetta?
Yes.
Dr. Matthew T. Seipel?
Yes.
Dr. Deborah Collins?
Yes.
Those are all psychologists, correct?
Yes, they are.
Did you also review the criminal complaints and police reports and other case materials?
Yes.
Were you able to, before I get into that, did you prepare 2 tables, so to speak?
Okay. Yes.
Can you tell me what the tables are?
The simpler table, 1 page, is Ms. Shabusiness's mental health history with just the names of the records, the date of the treatment, if it was known, her age at the time, and then the diagnosis, medications, and the conditions. So that was the 1 page. And then the other one was prepared by her school, and it reflects 6th grade through 11th grade, but this is just the table that the school had prepared. I had also, though, reviewed her kindergarten through 5th grade. So this table is 6th grade through 11th, but I also reviewed kindergarten through 5th grade, too.
Okay. And you brought these tables here and provided them to me, correct?
Yes.
And they've been provided to the state?
I guess. I don't know. Were they provided to the state?
Yes, they were.
Okay, yes. Yes, you told me that.
Thank you. Can I approach, Your Honor?
You may.
Thank you.
Dr. Litton, Exhibit 4 is being presented to you. Exhibit 5 is being presented to you. Could you comment on Exhibit 4 first, please?
Exhibit 4 is a 1-page table, Taylor Shabusiness Mental Health History, with the record the information came from, the date, if it's known, of inpatient or jail records, her approximate ages, and then the conditions during that either psychiatric treatment or in jail, the conditions, if they did make any a diagnosis, of her NM medications, if there were medications prescribed. So that's what Exhibit 4 is.
Could you take me through that in a little bit more detail as to the treatments she received and the medications?
Yes. From the age of about 7 through 14, she was treated, and again, I can't remember how the PREVAA, Prevea, here in Green Bay or this area, probably outpatient, so ages about 7 to 14, and we know the 14 is definite. She was seen for, and she was under psychiatric care, and I believe therapy, counseling, for attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, depression, and she was begun on Zoloft, an antidepressant, 2 to 3 weeks when she was 14, before the admission to Bellin. So that's on the next line. Bellin Health Psychiatric Center Adolescent Unit. She was there for 3 days, 2012, age 14. From the medical records, the conditions that they saw, the psychiatrists, the mental health people at Bellin, a thought disturbance, hallucinations, delusions, suicidal, depression. She was initially diagnosed with bipolar 1, depression, severe, with psychosis. She was put on an antipsychotic medication, Seroquel, and they discontinued the Zoloft that she had been taking 2 to 3 weeks before the admission. And the reason they discontinued the antidepressant medication is sometimes it can trigger worse symptoms in a person with bipolar. When she was discharged after the 3 days, no longer suicidal, she was then diagnosed with a mood disorder, not otherwise specified, without psychosis, but still the psychiatrist noted there was still some paranoia. You want me to just continue?
Sure.
Okay. The next admission, psychiatric, was to the same facility, Bellin Health Psychiatric Center Adolescent Unit, inpatient. That was for 3 days, 2 years later, in 2014. She was diagnosed with a mood disorder with prior history of psychosis. She had a history of diagnosis of mood disorder, suicidal, attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, history of hypomania, and marijuana use daily. She was prescribed medications to treat some medications, Lithobid, there to manage bipolar disorder. She was prescribed Abilify, which is an antipsychotic medication, and they stopped the Seroquel that she had been on since the age of 14. The next is St. Mary's Emergency Room. She was there for just a brief visit, the ER, March 22nd, 2021. She was 23 years old. She was observed to have hallucinations, paranoia, delusions, and she was using, or she had a history, but I think she was using at that time, marijuana, methamphetamine, okay, So that was one day at the ER. Then, and I believe, if I have this right, I believe she was in jail for 20 offenses, and I believe she went to the emergency room in 2021 from the jail because of the psychosis. Okay, then we have the Nicolet Psychiatric Center inpatient from March 22nd, 2021 until April 12th, 2021. At that time, she had a six-month civil commitment with an order to treat, which was what those exhibits two and four were, I think. Okay, this was 2021 for 21 days. The records indicate bipolar disorder, substance use, hallucinations, delusional, paranoia. She was initially on Abilify that she had been prescribed since age 16. And again, she was 23 during the 23 years old during the 21 days at Nicolet. So they kept her, I believe they kept her on Abilify, an antipsychotic medication, but then put her on an injected to make it easier. So you get the injections of an antipsychotic, Aristada, I can't pronounce it, Aristada. They put her on that, so she hoping that she'd be more compliant, easier. You go to the psychiatrist, get a shot. I don't remember if it's once a week. Some of them last a month, so I'm not sure about that one. And I think I said she was diagnosed with bipolar disorder, substance use, had hallucinations, delusional, paranoia. The last records were the jail, Brown County Jail mental health records. That was from a stay 3 months in 2020, June to September 2020. She was 22 years old, and that regarded 2020 offenses, criminal. She was noted to be suicidal, bizarre behaviors, hallucinations, and had used methamphetamine and heroin. Then, from the ages of 24 to 25, currently, records from the jail were from January 4th, 2022 to July 9th, 2023. She had, and I'm getting these from their mental health records, psychiatrists, mental health people at the jail. They noted she had suicidal ideation, bizarre, self-injurious behaviors, many conduct reports. She was nonverbal and isolative in her cell at times. She smeared and drew on her cell walls with feces and menstrual blood. She was naked at times. She had hallucinations, intense anger at times. She was prescribed Risperdal, an antipsychotic medication for, quote, psychosis and impulse control. But she was usually non-compliant. Then as far as I know, the antipsychotic olanzapine is currently her medication prescribed at the jail, but she is typically been non-compliant with taking it. And that's it for that exhibit.
Did you generate a report in this particular case?
Yes.
Thank you, Your Honor. Dr. Litton, you prepared a written report, correct?
Yes.
And was that dated July 3rd of 2023?
Yes.
Was it 15 pages?
About that, yes.
Did you sign it?
Yes. Oh, 9 pages.
You did review her medical and mental health history, correct?
Yes.
Her background, correct?
Yes.
Her family and social background, is that fair?
Yes.
Alcohol, drug abuse, and education?
Yes.
Sexual, physical abuse history, fair?
Yeah. Yes.
Jobs?
Yes.
Charges?
Yes.
Tell me about the first interview that you did with her.
That took place February 7th, two attempted interviews, February 7th, 2023, at the jail in a conference room. She remained nonverbal the entire time when I attempted to interview her, and she suddenly ran to the corner of the room, picked up a plastic chair, and threw it at me. I called the guards, took them a couple minutes to get there. She sat down, I sat down, tried to calmly ask her why she threw the chair. She, again, was nonverbal. The guards came. I explained the situation. They initially said, yes, I should terminate the interview, but offered the possibility of taking Ms. Shabusiness to a secure booth to see if she'd interview. She nodded that she would be willing to go there and talk to me. We got there, and she again was nonverbal. That was the first two attempted interviews, February 7th, 2023.
So you had two interviews with her on that day?
Two on that day.
The one interview, was that in a room with just you and her and a table?
Yeah. Yes.
And in that interview room, they have a stack of chairs there?
One chair in the corner.
Okay. And then later you went to a more secure area where there was glass. Did you talk to her there?
I tried to, and she again was nonverbal.
That was before I got involved. Is that fair?
Exactly.
Then did you have the occasion to meet with her on a different date?
I did, when the former the last attorney, the original attorney on the case, after she threw the chair at me, was nonverbal on February 7th, 2023. Her defense attorney went, like the next day, went to discuss things about, you know, why did you throw the chair? She didn't have an explanation. But she agreed, and she was verbal to the defense attorney. She told him, yes, she would then interview with me. He said, I'll come back tomorrow to double check. He returned, I guess, the next day. She again said she was verbal with him and agreed that she'd interview with me. So I returned on February 13th, 2023, and she refused to even come to the interview room. So those were the first three attempted interviews.
Was there an occasion where you had another interview with her?
I did, yes.
When was that?
On June 19th, 2023.
And was that at the Brown County Jail?
Yes.
In the interview room?
In the conference room, yes.
Okay. And what is the conference room? Can you describe the layout there?
Not a huge room, but there's a table, a bigger table in the middle, and plastic chairs, thank goodness, plastic chairs, and then there was that the people sit on, and then, you know, one plastic chair in the corner, you know, not a huge conference room.
From the incident on February 7th where the chair was thrown at you, did you have some safety concerns, precautions?
With her or me? Or,
yes.
She had, she was handcuffed to a waist belt.
But I mean, did you have concerns from the incident on February 7th where the chair was thrown at you?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Okay.
First time in 32 years a chair's anybody I've interviewed ever did that.
Okay. So on June 19th of 2023, you had another interview with her?
Yes.
Did you make any requests at all?
Well, for you to be there, but, you know, you had already met with her several times. She had not been aggressive with you. Ideally, I wanted to meet with her in that conference room as opposed to behind plexiglass in a little tiny booth. So the June 19th, 2023 interview where she did talk was in that conference room.
And you asked me to sit in?
Yes, I did.
Did I interfere in any way?
No.
And so tell me a little bit about that interview on June 19th of 2023.
I was only with her for 2 hours. She had a great deal of trouble, difficulty with paying attention and concentrating. My impression of her at that 2 hour interview was she was psychotic. She had visual, auditory hearing, visual hallucinations, auditory hallucinations. She was delusional. She was paranoid. She answered some of my questions. My impression of her was that she was really trying to answer questions, and she was verbal. This time she spoke with me. She was verbal. But my impression was that she was really trying to answer my questions. But her thinking was very, what we call, disorganized, very delusional. She was actively hallucinating, hearing things, a train, a loud train whistle, that she is screaming, which she told me she hears in the courtroom too. As the 2 hours went on, she became so distracted and very, you know, afraid. You could see it on her face, fear, because of the delusions she was experiencing right then. She got more and more scared about what she thought she saw, a train, and of this louder whistle. So after 2 hours, that was it. She was so, in my impression was that she was so distressed. I didn't want to continue the interview. I felt I would be inflicting more harm on her if I continued the interview. So she gave me some information about her bipolar condition, her mental health history, family. Yeah, that was...
Dr. Linton, thank you. Do you have an opinion on whether or not Ms. Shabizis's memory for remote or recent events was impaired when
yes.
you met with her?
Yes.
Tell me about that a little bit.
Not only did I see that memory issues impairment in the two-hour interview, but I see it in her records too. She can sometimes remember remote events, like, you know, pretty well, where she lived, approximate dates, the approximate time her mother died, and so the date when she got married, roughly. It's a little fuzzy, but yeah, better remote memory. But she often will, in the same interview with treaters, evaluators, she'll be confused. And I saw memory impairments during the 2 hours, memory gaps, kind of a person with bipolar disorder or a psychotic disorder like schizophrenia. When they're actively psychotic, we sometimes see memory gaps for the time they were very psychotic, or with bipolar 1 disorder, when they're in a manic state, they can often forget what's going on. Then when they come out of the psychosis, sometimes they'll have a spotty memory. Sometimes the whole memory will come back of when what they were doing, what happened during the psychotic episode. But sometimes it's totally blank. Sometimes it comes partially back. And sometimes they try to reconstruct what happened, and you get a kind of a funny reconstruction. How do they explain their behavior when they were manic with bipolar or psychotic from schizophrenia, for example? They'll do a funny, not funny, haha, but bizarre reconstruction. Well, let's see, if I did that, if I got married while I was psychotic, well, let's see, I must have liked the guy. Or I've heard some really odd memory issues.
What about her speech? Can you give me any commentary on her speech from the observations you made?
Her speech is generally, you can understand, I could understand her. She generally speaks in what we call connected sentences. So you can understand her speech. She's not, there's another term, word salad, for somebody who's psychotic, who just blah, blah, blah. You can't understand. It's called word salad. I've never, in her records, and when I interviewed her, she's never been like that. So you can understand her speech, and she'll speak in brief, what we call connected sentences. Sometimes they're logical, lucid, but other times not. They don't make sense. They're going off track. They're whatever we're talking about, poof, she goes off track and says something totally different.
Are you saying that she goes off on tangents?
Very much so, yes. Not always, but yes, I observe that in the records too.
When you discuss certain topics, is she connected or disconnected?
Sometimes, like in the two-hour interview, sometimes she, and again, my impression was that she tried really hard to answer my questions. Sometimes she was connected to what I was saying and to reality. Other times, no, definitely not connected in my impression.
During the two-hour interview that you had with her on June 19th, was she distracted by any internal or external stimuli?
Yes.
Tell me a little bit more about that.
She was distracted by a clock on the, and this is one of these tangents, a clock on the conference room wall. She was distracted by a cord. We had just been talking about past suicide attempts, and she had tried apparently to hang herself, so when she was a teenager or younger, and she was distracted by a cord and a voice telling her to hang herself with that cord. But she said, I'm controlling it though. She had a train. She thought she saw a train and a whistle that got louder and louder and louder. She was delusional in her thinking. So those are just some examples.
Did you ask her about her mood on a scale of 1 to 10?
I did.
And what was the response she got?
007, 007, which was bizarre. And I think a reference to James Bond.
What can you take from that?
My impression was that, again, it was some tangent and, it sounds pretty goofy, bizarre. I asked her to clarify that, and she really didn't. It led into a discussion of mania, bipolar 1 mania, and we discussed that, her impressions of bipolar and has she ever had a manic episode.
Is obsessive compulsive disorder a mental disorder or issue?
Is it for her or just in general?
Just in general.
Yes, it's a mental disorder.
Did you talk to her about any compulsive behaviors or any issues like that?
Yes.
Tell me about that.
I brought up the issue of hyper sexuality, also just obsessive compulsive symptoms, traits, and she said sometimes she's will touch her hair a lot, she'll wash her hands 30 to 40 times with germs. But then I asked her about hypersexuality, which is sometimes seen in a person with bipolar 1 disorder when they're in a manic state, manic psychotic state, this hyper, too much interest, arousal with regarding something sexual. And she was very surprised. She had never heard of that. But she clicked on it. It was interesting. She clicked on it like, oh. And then she described some past obsessiveness in, I think she said, in 2020 for about a year when she and her husband viewed a lot, and she called it, obsessive, adult pornography.
Does hypersexuality give you concern or pause as it relates to mental health issues?
It does, because, and this wasn't the additional evidence about it that she has likely well, in my opinion, she has had hypersexuality during the bipolar disorder, you know, when she was diagnosed at least age 14, but probably before that. She made inappropriate sexual comments in her classrooms while growing up at school. Then when she was inpatient, I believe the 21 days, I think it was Nicolet and was it 2021, she was inappropriate. They caught her in the bathroom, two separate incidences with a male, two different male patients. I think there's been some incidences in the jail. I don't remember that exactly. But yes, that's definitely a concern. I've seen other people inpatient, outpatient, who are hypersexual and again associated with bipolar mania, manic episode, or could be schizophrenia, but typically bipolar disorder. I've certainly seen that at Mendota and when I treated or evaluated people. It's not incredibly common, but it can. It's one of the kind of classic symptoms of a bipolar manic episode.
Did Ms. Shibiza say anything about her thinking and her feelings on that?
Yes.
What did she talk to you about?
You mean during that two-hour interview?
Yes.
Yeah, and I'd have to look at her the exact quotes here. But she hears screaming in the courtroom. It sounds like quite constant, she said. She said she reported she hears screaming all day long, and not from the other jail inmates, telling her to wake up. Screaming happens, quote, a lot when she goes to court. It, quote, very much so, end of quote, affects her ability to concentrate on a daily basis and when in the courtroom. And then the voices, the screaming, are scary and tell her to do stuff. So her thinking is, I always ask people, I evaluate, how is your thinking and memory? And to me, it's just the thinking is, it's difficult for her to think because of the bipolar symptoms, the psychosis thinking. It affects her attention, her concentration, and messes up her thinking. Difficult.
As part of your complete analysis in this case, did you find that Taylor Shibiza is married?
Yes.
And did she provide you with any information about the, you know, about the marital relationship?
Yes.
What did she say about that?
She said that, I hate to say this about someone not here, but she said that her spouse, who I believe they married in 2020, got her involved in methamphetamine use. He was a dealer. He was, again, her reports about this vary, but she has reported that he was very physically abusive, hit her, she told me that he hit her on the head numerous times. That was when I was evaluating her. Any head injuries ever in your past? And she mentioned that he had hit her on the head numerous times. So very controlling person. And she had gone to a neighbor's house at one time in 2020 to ask them to call 911. And another neighbor, when the police came, another neighbor said that he was, she knew them both, and she said, yeah, he was abusive, controlling, drug pusher, addict, yeah. But she is still married, I think, I believe there's, but she was going to, in 2020, she was going to try to get the marriage annulled, but I don't think that's happened at this point.
Frederick, while you're changing topics, I think we'll take our mid-morning break. We started a little bit later, but it's 10:45 right now, folks. We've been going for about an hour and a half. We'll take about a 10-minute break, so all rise for the adjournment. Recess, Mr. Saunders?
No, thank you.
Mr. Fairley?
No, thank you.
All right, and
we
reconvene at
11 o'clock. You're listening to True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers podcast continuous coverage of the trial of Taylor Shabusiness, Nightmare in Wisconsin.
Press subscribe so you don't miss any of our continuing coverage.
More raw trial audio next.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
10 hours on my feet, traffic, noise, everybody needing something from me. My head is spinning. I just need the world to stop for 1 second. But then I get home, shoes off, phone out, and I open Modo Casino. Hundreds of slots, classic table games. It's my instant reset. The variety I want in the quiet I need.
Modo Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Modo.us for more details. Download the Modo Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Modo Casino. America's social casino.